Hello, and welcome back to Hanging Out with the Dream King, a Neil Gaiman podcast by Clay Temple Media. I'm Glenn McDorman.
And I'm Brent Helt. In this episode, we'll be discussing Choose First Day of School by Neil Gaiman, with art by Adam Rex, published in 2014.
This is part two of our series on Chew. There are three books in this series for kids written by Neil Gaiman. Chew's Day was the first one. Yeah, we did that last week. This is the middle one. Next week, we will bring this home by covering Chew's Day at the Beach. Just like last time when we covered Chew's Day, this book, Chew's First Day of School, is available both as a board book or a picture book. Brent and I each read the picture book. As it says in the title, this is the story of Chew's first day of school. Chew, the young panda, is worried because he doesn't know what to expect, and he also is worried that the other kids won't like him. Of course, we've all been there. We've all experienced, you know, something akin to this, at least. It's a nearly universal experience, I would say. But Chew, of course, has the added problem of his sneezes. Chew's parents offer him some comfort the night before the first day of school, and then, when the day arrives, they take him to school together. They also will both be there when school is over as well. In the classroom, we meet Chew's teacher, a bear, and we also meet the other kids who, there's several of them, but the students include a giraffe, a snail, a hippo, there's a snake, there's some others. They go around in a circle, introducing themselves, while the teacher writes their names on the blackboard. And of course, the fact that it is a blackboard and not a whiteboard is central to the plot, because what do you use to write on a blackboard? Chalk. And what does chalk make? Well, it makes dust, right? And so Chew sneezes, of course, and literally blows the roof off the school, though it does seem that the roof is just going to settle back down into place and everything is going to be fine. And inside, we see that his classmates and the furniture have been blown up against the walls. The first illustration of this shows the students and the teacher looking pretty shocked, pretty frazzled, but the second illustration shows everyone realizing that what happened here is that they've just had a pretty fun ride. They're all smiles at this point. And then we cut to the end of school. Chew goes home with his parents and tells them that everything went great while he's taking his bath. And then he's in bed, and the story ends with Chew saying, "Good night," just like Chew's day did. So that is the synopsis of what happened here. Let's jump into our discussion section here, Brent, just by talking about, I guess, the art first. And I just want to lead into this, Brent, with a real softball type of question, because I think when we talk about art in comics, I am always gravitating towards environments. And I think you're all always, or at least more often, gravitating towards the people here. And so I guess I just want to start by taking your pulse here on who was your favorite animal person in Chew's First Day of School.
There are a lot to choose from. I think my favorite animal person, though, is one of the photographs on the wall in his classroom. There's two photographs on the wall. One is of like a walrus in a suit, and the other one is of some kind of a, I don't know if it's a, I probably should have bothered to figure out what this is, but I don't know if it's a ring-tailed lemur or something. It also in a suit. And I really like that particular creature, whatever it is. Juxtaposed with the walrus, it's both of them as if these are the principal and vice principal, or maybe principal and superintendent of the school district or something, where they have the photos on the walls. Or it could be that like one of them's supposed to be the president. I'm not sure. Depends on how they've set things up in the school. But it's probably like the principal and vice principal, or some, you know, former, teachers of note or something.
No, I think lemur is right. And you have anticipated actually a question that I was going to ask you later in the discussion section here, which is, hey, who are these people? I was really fascinated by these black and white photographs on either side of the chalkboard here of these people in suits and ties. I think I gravitated towards, oh, this must be like the president and the vice president of this place, or, you know, the head of state and some kind of assistant head of state, or, you know, something like that, a minister of education or something like that, rather than the principal and like vice principal or something like that of the school. Though either answer is plausible. These just felt like, because they were these black and white photos, it felt like that this must be outside of the world of the school itself. But also, I was just a little disturbed by the president. presence of these photos and the kind of, I don't know, jingoism of these photos, regardless, right? That you have to have in the classroom for these kids who are, you know, five or so, perhaps even a little younger, four or five, something like that. You have to make sure that they can see the photos of the authority figures at all time. Was something that bothered me a little bit about the setup of this classroom, though, of course, you and I grew up in classrooms exactly like that.
Well, and to feel, you know, the way I think probably to have a mental canon here that lets us not feel like it's some kind of a oppressive authoritarian structure is if these are historical figures, if like these are famous, you know, presidents of Chewville, of the past, if like, you know, the lemur is the equivalent of, you know, FDR and the walrus is, you know, Teddy Roosevelt or something. Right. Or, you know, one of them is the equivalent of Abraham Lincoln, but it's just, but obviously there's photos. So it's, there's photos. So we don't have a George Washington figure, but we do have, you know, within the last 100 years, given the suiting they're wearing.
Yeah, the walrus does look a lot like Teddy Roosevelt. I think that might actually be.
Yeah, and that's, you know, and I honestly, when I look at the lemur and if I try to think president, I'm thinking maybe Jimmy Carter.
Well, I did really like the interior of the school here. I guess really all we see is this one classroom, but it's really well laid out, right? It's really well designed to look like a classroom that would make sense to us. And there's a lot of thought that's been given into it. One of the features of the classroom that Finch, my almost four-year-old at this point, noticed is that in addition to those two photographs on the wall, surrounding the walls at the top, there's a border that has animals. And those animals are the alphabet. They are in alphabetical order. There's no depiction of the letters. It's only depiction of the animals, but you realize that they are going in alphabetical order, A through Z. And that is really clever. I would not have noticed that. I was really delighted when Finch pointed that out to me on our sort of fifth or sixth read through the book, because it's clever. It's clever to have done it that way, because of course that's going to be a feature of a preschool or a kindergarten classroom, something like this, right? And there's just been a lot of thought put into the depiction here that I really loved.
Yeah, it's great. But was there an animal that struck you particularly?
Yeah, not a new one. I'm going to pick Chu's father here. So, you know, adult panda, because I really, really enjoyed seeing him making a model sailing ship for fun while he's wearing, you know, his vest and his tie. And it just struck me that this, you know, this is a dad who's got hobbies. He's got a hobby, something he's really interested in. Presumably, it's not just the model sailing ships. He might be into sailing ships. Generally, he might have a lot of nautical knowledge. And I just thought, yeah, that's something that makes for a good childhood, right? Is when the people you live with, the grown-ups you live with, have interests in things that are not their jobs, interest in things that are not even really a part of your world as a kid, and give you a chance to learn about those things and can provide a lens through which you yourself also will see the world through your parents' interests and hobbies. So I really liked seeing that.
No, it's great to see him with something that is not just Chew focused kind of hobby, as you said that he has. And in my mind, it could be that he's, you know, a fan of nautical stuff or a fan of miniatures, or it could be that he's a fan of miniatures because he's building this for his Dungeons and Dragons game or other role-playing game that he's going to run with friends. We don't see the minis that are going to be on board, but, you know, this is being used. Even if it's theater of the mind, he's just going to show them, like, here's a model of where your characters are. Just kind of a fun extra bit to kind of blend a couple hobbies together. And as someone who engages in kind of overlapping hobbies in that way, I really enjoyed it. I also, that is a really fantastic like vest tie combo that he has going on. There's really good kind of, you know, nice use of contrasting colors there, complementary colors there with the red tie and the green vest. So
yeah, no, I'm definitely taking some wardrobe notes from Chu's father, though I suspect that I probably would look better in Chu's outfit than Chu's father's outfit. But, you know, that's fine. That's fine. Well, look, let's move into talking about some other elements of the art here. And Brent, the next two questions I've got for you, I will say, are not really my questions. These are Finch's questions. These are the questions that he asked me while we were reading the book. And in particular, he was really, really interested in the exterior of the school. And he wanted to know, what are the other two nearby buildings that we see? One of these is kind of a square, but with a dome on top and a steeple. And the other one is a bit of neoclassical architecture. It's a wide rectangle with columns, a little triangle top. What do you think those buildings are?
I think they're probably meant to be other educational institutions. I think the steeple and the domed building is meant to be a high school or, you know, maybe a middle school. And I think that the neoclassical is either meant to be a high school or some kind of a college.
Finch thought that the building with the dome and the steeple that you're thinking of as being perhaps the middle school, he actually thought this was probably a church, because I think in his experience, you know, a steeple goes with a church. I kind of wanted it to be a library, though. I think you're right about the building with the columns probably being a high school, though that was the one that I thought perhaps might be like a courthouse or some other, you know, government building of some kind. But yeah, we ended up settling on just that's a church, and then another school was the answer, you know, in our house for sure. The other question that Finch had here was about the school bus. And Finch was very concerned about this school bus because everyone, like the people that we see, all seem to be walking or flying to school with their parents, but there is clearly a bus here, right? And so the question Finch had is, who took the school bus?
I mean, it could be the school bus is feeding one of the other buildings, one of the other schools, if there's those are other schools. It could also be that the school bus didn't happen to take anyone today, that the first day of school, the parents of all the pupils decided to take their student. So the school bus driver drove a very lonely, sad route by themselves that day. But in the future, you know, the parents maybe just will get their child to the school bus drop. And so in the future, maybe once he's met everyone and is a little more acclimated to the idea of going to school, perhaps Chu, as well as all of his classmates, might be on it.
Now, I think that that's right. That was the answer I gave as well, was that this is a special day, a special school day. It's the first day. And so that's what's happening here. And yeah, you're right. This is a very big school. So one of the questions that I had going in, of course, was what age is Chu? What school is this? It's clear that this must be kindergarten because this is a proper elementary school, a K through five or K through six type of school in the United States. And so, yeah, we see a lot of these younger kids, but there are going to be other kids. There may be 9-year-olds, 10-year-olds attending this school as well. And maybe that's who the bus was for. Well, okay. So those were the questions that Finch had. I will say the other question that he had was, hey, who are these people in the suits in these pictures? But we've talked about that already. So I, of course, will be reporting back to him what your answers were, Brent. He's invested in what you have to say about this as well. But let's zoom out a little bit. Brent, the question that we asked about Tuesday, a question that I think we often ask about books for kids is there a didactic lesson in this story? You were pretty disappointed in Tuesday. Neither of us felt like there was one in Tuesday, and you were pretty disappointed by that. How are you feeling about this one? Is there a didactic lesson in this story? And if not, do you continue to be disappointed by that?
I was happy to find that there was a lesson here that, you know, Chu was uncertain of whether he was going to be liked, and he was very nervous about, you know, the one thing that he does. And then he did it, and, you know, a little bit of wackiness, you know, happens, but everyone turns out is okay. And then, you know, when his parents asked him, like, you know, how was school and did they like you? And he's like, yeah, they liked me, which you shouldn't judge whether you have a good or bad day based on whether people like you. Sometimes it's even good, me professionally, to judge people, judge whether the day is good on whether people are upset with me. But, in this case, it at least makes Chu, reflect on having a good first day because of that. And it's going to be, you're left with the impression that it's going to be a good second day. It's also communication that I think to children who are reading this book or having it read to them that, like, it's okay for someone to have some differences or do something that might be upsetting, like, you know, sneezing loudly or having some kind of other outburst, that, like, that is not something to not, it's something maybe even to celebrate, not something to shy away from. It is part of who you are, even though what you do is sneeze versus getting tall things off of shelves as the giraffe did, or singing pretty songs like the robin did, or I think the hippo danced. What was your take on it?
Well, I think what I will do here, Brent, is report Finch's reaction rather than my own reaction, because we read this book the day before Finch's first day of school. We planned this series so that it would coincide with when Finch is the right age for these books. And then in particular, specifically, we planned this series so that we would be reading this book, or could be reading this book at any rate, to help Finch get through his first day of school or prepare for his first day of school. And it was a great help for us. Finch very much was feeling worried about starting school. I should say, this is preschool here, not kindergarten. So a little younger than Chu is in this book, and a little different type of school than Chu is going to here. But Finch was feeling worried about starting school. He did not care at all about other students liking him or not. That wasn't something that had occurred to him before reading this book. And in fact, it's not something that occurred to him while, or like during or after reading this book either. It just was a part of the story that washed over him, because what he was concerned about, right, was being left alone, being with people who were not me or Elizabeth. But even more so, he was concerned about just generally not knowing what to expect. And this book really helped us talk about those feelings, which I think is the most important part here. But it also did help us talk about what to expect at school, even though really none of the images here are at all what Finch's school is like. Finch goes to an outdoor nature school. So there's no blackboard. There's no, really no classroom to speak of either. It's all outside and so on. But, meeting other kids, sitting around in a circle, getting to know everybody and that sort of thing is, continues to be how they start their days. And so it was really helpful for him to see these experiences. All of that said, I will report here that Finch liked Chu's day better. That's the book that he has gone back to when he wants to read about Chu. But from my perspective as a parent, this book was more useful for him and more useful for us as a family. We needed something, to help us talk through all the feelings that he was having about starting school. And this book was perfect for that. And so I'm incredibly grateful for this book.
Yeah, in comparing the two, I understand why he may prefer Chu's day to Chu's first day of school. I think Chu's first day of school is a better story, because I think there is a story. I think Chu's day, because you get the different locations, there's improved kind of diversity of what you're seeing. You're seeing the circus, you're seeing the library, you're seeing the diner, right?
Well, right now we just have the two to compare, but next time we will have all three. We will complete the series on Chu, and I think definitely there we can pick our favorites, talk about why they were our favorites, and you and I can do that. I will also report back about what Finch's favorite ultimately is here. But since we're looking ahead to that, that is going to do it for this episode. I'm Glenn McDorman.
And I'm Brent Helt. You can find us and our other creative projects at claytemplemedia.com.
As I said, next time we will be back with Chu's Day at the Beach. That'll be sometime next week. And so until then, pleasant dreams.